B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
From the Town Fair Tire Studio, Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Championship weekend tomorrow, Chris, does not involve the Patriots for the first time in forever. It feels that way. I got over it, though, after watching those games last week, which I know I was being a baby about it this time last week.
Yeah, you really were.
Divisional weekend. Jim, don't you normally love divisional weekend? Yeah, Chris, but I'm going to be a mope because the Pats aren't in it.
Yeah.
That quickly turned. I hated the first game because I am being transparent about this. I am openly rooting against Jimmy Garoppolo. My take on Jimmy Garoppolo is the only important thing. It's all I've got left. You know, when you dug in, you dug in. That's just the way it goes. Because I still think that Garoppolo is more a sidecar than anything else. I think he's a bad pick waiting to happen, and I still have time to be proven right. So that game went sideways quickly, Minnesota in San Francisco. But that night game, Tennessee Titans have been a great story. Thing with great stories, though, in professional sports, sometimes that's all it ends up being. And, you know, you often see it in the NCAA men's tournament.
Yeah.
You've seen it before with teams that have made a bit of a run. I remember one of my favorites was the Jim Harbaugh 1995 Colts. You know, go to the AFC Championship, 9-7 team squeaks in. They win their first game, and they go to Kansas City. Lynn Elliott misses three field goals. They beat that juggernaut Chiefs team in the AFC Championship game. Come within a dropped Hail Mary of going to the Super Bowl. Like, you know, sometimes the stories just unfortunately come to an end and the slipper falls off and that's that. Do you think the Titans are more that after what you saw last Saturday night? Because that was sheer domination in Baltimore. So your thoughts on that and if that team can actually make the Super Bowl and your thought on last weekend's games overall?
I mean, I think they can make the Super Bowl. I just think the way that they're playing in terms of the level of physicality on both sides of the football, to do it 3 weeks in a row on the road, I think that's going to take its toll. And you saw what Kansas City was able to do after falling behind 24-0. I think Mike Vrabel will have a good game plan. I think Dean Pease, the defensive coordinator, will have a good game plan. I think that they'll mesh the offense and the defense and try and keep Patrick Mahomes off the field. And I think they'll be able to run the football on the Chiefs. But I also think just the toll of taking out the Patriots and the Ravens and then having to go to one of the loudest stadiums, one of the most hostile environments in the NFL against a super explosive offense, I just think it's going to be too much for Tennessee. I think that they're kind of drained at this point.
Did you put more of what that happened in that game last Saturday night on, you know, we're not giving the Tennessee Titans enough credit and their toughness, or did Baltimore get exposed?
I thought Baltimore got off to a slow start, fell behind 14-0, and panicked. I thought there was panic.
They completely went away from their game plan at 14-0.
I thought they panicked a little bit, and they were rusty, and that definitely contributed to the start that the Titans were able to have against them. But then I thought it was sort of panic, and they were pressing. You know, and I thought that was sort of the difference between Lamar Jackson as a quarterback and, say, Patrick Mahomes. I think Mahomes, having gone through the experience last year in the AFC Championship game against the Patriots when the Texans were down and Bill O'Brien ran that stupid fake punt. I think that you looked at it and Kansas City was able to stay composed and just say, okay, let's just play here and get back in the game. And the most amazing thing about that game is the Chiefs led at halftime after being down 24.
Of course, the game was over at halftime.
It really was. You're right.
When they went in for that go-ahead touchdown to put them up by, what was it, 4, I think, at the time?
Yeah.
I said, I'm like, I'm good here. I don't have to watch the rest of this game. It's over. And the second half was worthless. The game was over at halftime.
It was.
I'm glad you brought this up, though, in terms of the composure between the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes and Baltimore, because I'm not – there, of course, because you're going to get this from, like, baby fans. It's not just a baby Patriots fan thing. Like, oh, Lamar Jackson got exposed. See? Like, take your MVP and shove it. Like, I still believe in Lamar Jackson. The kid's only 23 years old. He's going to take lumps. I actually thought he was okay in that game. Better than okay. There was times it's like, okay, boy, like, he's like video game speed. It's ridiculous. I did not like one thing about Lamar Jackson, though, and you saw the juxtaposition between he and Mahomes. The kid lost his composure. Like, there was a bitchiness and a huffing and puffing real quick when they got down in that game.
Yeah.
You never saw that from Patrick Mahomes.
No.
You never did last year in the AFC Championship game either.
Even though there were drops all over the place for Mahomes.
And he's getting let down by his receivers, just like Jackson was. And he's just even Steven, which you need in your quarterback. You can fix that. And again, the kid's only 23 years old, but that was the red flag I saw with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Because the attitude and body language got bad quick.
Well, he had that penalty on, what was it, Kevin Byard? He grabbed him around the neck and whipped him to the ground out of bounds. He got an unnecessary roughness penalty tackling a guy on an interception. It was pure frustration. So let me ask you this, because a lot of people have, and I want to get your take on this as a credit card carrying Patriot fan.
Literally.
Yeah, literally. Did you feel better about the Patriots' loss to the Titans after they took out the Ravens? Did it change anything for you about that loss? I'll give you my quick answer. It did not for me.
A hair, because at least they didn't get blown out.
Yeah.
The Ravens got blown out. Mm. At least it was a more competitive game. But no, overall, no, because I thought the Patriots 12-4 was a fraudulent record that was pumped up from the historically easy schedule they had early, and they got what they deserved. Oh, I'm glad you just reminded me, because that made me we're so far removed. We talked so much about all this stuff that happened this week with baseball and everything else. I forgot, going into the week, the thing that made me mental, especially if the Chiefs ended up losing that game, Chris, was the, the Pats blew it. What an opportunity. Oh, so the road was set. Shut up. They got what they deserved. They weren't that good. Oh, it was making me so mad, especially during Saturday night, because I was genuinely enjoying that game.
Yeah.
And of course, these teams were frauds. The Pats really blew their opportunity. If they only beat Miami. No, they rightfully lost to Miami. Their defense was overrated. They rightfully lost that game. They rightfully lost Wild Card Weekend. They ended up where they should have been. There was just this revisionist history that happened so fast with those games last week, and especially if Houston hung on to that 24-0 lead and ended up winning that game over Kansas City. Oh, it would have been insufferable this week. Oh, the Pats blew it. They blew it. And Felger and Mass, too. It's like, who got to you? You don't really believe this. That team wasn't that good.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'll be honest. It didn't change the way I felt.
Thank you.
It just did not. I mean, I know they were closer than Baltimore ultimately, and I thought there was some rust for Baltimore. I'm not making excuses for them, but, you know, all the issues we had seen sort of all season with the Patriots ultimately ended up getting exposed. So I don't feel better about Baltimore being eliminated by Tennessee. I'm curious, though, if Patriots fans will feel better about the whole thing if Tennessee goes into Arrowhead tomorrow and wins.
Well, there is that wretched history that hangs over the Kansas City Chiefs. And I'll tell you, the way that game between them and Houston was starting off early, it's like, oh, my God, it's happening again. That's a real thing. And, boy, those fans are quick to turn. The boos were raining down fast and heavy in Arrowhead quickly. But that offense, man, they scored, what, seven straight touchdowns. Like, they are just lethal. And Mahomes is the real deal. Like, he dealt with the injury, and it was a little wonky early, even prior to that. And it felt like that team was underachieving, but that offense is just filthy. And the job that Bill O'Brien did, I can't believe they didn't leave him in Kansas City. That he still is the head coach of that team and still gets to make personal decisions, mind-blowing.
And I love Bill O'Brien. I really do. You know, he's a nice guy, good to deal with and all that stuff. But I just didn't understand. I was saying when they kicked that field goal, I'm like, go for it. Just go for it here. And then they didn't. And it's like you take the points. Okay, fine. You want to play conservative. I get it. But then play it conservative. Don't kick that field goal there on 4th-and-2 or 4th-and-1 and then turn around and run a fake punt on 4th-and-4.
And then after the game, Chris, say, we knew we needed 50 points to win this game. Do you play blackjack at all? That decision, so to not go for it on 4th-and-1 and kick the field goal and then on your next possession do the fake punt in your own territory, that reminded me, like, you're a bad blackjack gambler. Bad blackjack player. Like, you got to have rules. You either go into it knowing you always hit on 16 or you don't hit on 16.
Yep.
Like, he handled that like a complete idiot.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, you got to have some rules. You got to have a code, and he has no code. And that's one of myriad problems that he has. I get it. And everyone has, you know, any of you guys that cover the teams or in the locker rooms, you talk to him, like, and Bedard always is a glowing review of Bill O'Brien. I'm sure he's a very nice guy. But as a head coach and a leader, he stinks.
No, I mean, I'll say this. I think he's a good game planner. I think he's a very thorough coach. I think sometimes his in-game management isn't good. And I think sometimes he can become sort of overwhelmed by the moment from an in-game management standpoint.
And it feels to me that Deshaun Watson, Chris, is heading to a place I never want to put Deshaun Watson in, because I like watching Deshaun Watson play, and that is being a member of the I Feel Bad For You All-Stars, along with Larry Fitzgerald and Aeneas Williams and other
Calvin
players.
Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, Calvin Johnson. Barry Sanders. Guys that are so good and a joy to watch, but you are with a hideous franchise and a bad coach. And I know, look, he'll be up for a free agency here in a year, a couple, few years, and maybe he lands somewhere else. But I get Deshaun Watson the hell away from that guy and out of that wretched, worthless franchise, the Houston Texans. Oh, I knew. I had a feeling, too, like, this isn't going to last. 24-0. There's no way that this lasts. And it didn't. And again, they go up at – Kansas City goes up at halftime. The game was over. It was over.
Yeah.
Some other NFC thoughts you might have left over. Garoppolo, you and I agree with.
Well, that's a whole Justice segment coming up. Yeah. I don't even want to start. All right. I don't even want to get into the – you want to talk – let's talk Seahawks-Packers. Finish this segment, and
okay,
then we'll come back, because I want a whole segment of Jimmy G.
Well, here's my thought on Seahawks-Packers.
Okay.
It more has to do with the Seahawks than anything else.
All right.
That team sucks. That team is Russell Wilson, who is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And he really should get strong MVP consideration. I know he won't. It's going to be Jackson.
He's the best quarterback in the league.
Hands down, Chris, because that team is him, a wide receiver and a half, because Metcalf is rookie user this season.
Yeah.
I'm only going to give him a half. A terrible offensive line. An okay coach, I think a suck offensive coordinator.
The defense is good, but the secondary is bad. That's the problem.
Secondary sucks. You have
front seven's good.
Bobby Wagner in an okay at times pass rush, and Jadeveon Clowney trying when he wants to. That team's not that good. And for them to have an opportunity to legitimately win that game and go to the conference championship is mind blowing to me.
Yeah.
That first half, it's like, oh, they're going to get blown the F out. But Russell Wilson single handedly put him on their back and brought him back in that game. And he does that all the time. His like low center of gravity that he has too, I think benefits him when he's rolling out and you know, spinning out of sacks and stuff like that. He is a joy to watch. A complete cornball off the field, but boy,
oh yeah, when they
when
they mic him up, I'm like, please just stop talking. Yeah, the mic up thing is pretty tough. So I'll be honest with you. Let's go back to coaching decisions too. In that one, Pete Carroll, the 4th and 11. I thought they should have gone for
Thank you. Of course, because you write the word the, and people are going to beat you down on Twitter because it's just the worst place in the world. Because I wrote punt, question mark. Like, go for it. At that point, go for it. What are you
agree,
doing?
Because right now, you have your best player on the field, and he might not get the ball back. And even if you don't get that, right, in that territory, if you don't, because it was 4th and 11 from their own 36, if your defense can hold them to a field goal, now it's 31-23, and you get the ball back, and now you need the touchdown and the 2-point conversion to tie and send it to overtime. But at least you're giving Wilson a chance. If you punt it away, then what ends up happening is what happened, which is that he never sees the ball again. And by the way, I thought that spot was completely bogus and should have been overturned.
Oh, at the end of the game.
Yeah, Jimmy Graham. But when you look at that, the Packers converted 2 third downs. I just thought that was an odd decision. And it's a lot of like odd decisions over the years from, remember the game they ended up winning here when Cam Chancellor broke up the pass to Gronk a few years ago, but they like went for 2 in like a weird spot.
Yes, yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I just feel like he makes odd decisions.
Yeah, Pete's a moron. Yeah, we have enough of a sample size that's fair to say. I wanted it selfishly too, because again, I'm rooting against Garoppolo. I'm transparent with that. And I give the Seahawks a better chance because of the 2 close games that they played because of the institutional knowledge that they had over the years. And I give them a better shot going into Levi Stadium and winning that game tomorrow. Green Bay, I don't know. So we'll get to Garoppolo. We'll be firm but fair on Jimmy Garoppolo, and we'll also give you our thoughts on some of the ideal Super Bowl matchups, some of the permutations we can go through. We'll actually hit the bong and do it with Colin Cowherd next.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, if you were a marketing director and you had to do like a movie poster for the Super Bowls at Fox, how do we advertise all 4 of these potential Super Bowls? How do we advertise it? And I think the easy one is if Kansas City faced San Francisco, you would do the movie poster Lethal Weapons. I mean, you got Kittle, and you got Andy Reid, and you got Garoppolo, and I got Patrick Mahomes, and I got Tyreek Hill. That's a very easy movie poster for the 49ers and the Chiefs. It's Lethal Weapons.
That makes sense. I like that.
Yeah. If the Niners, there's an upset, and the Niners face the Titans, the movie poster to me would be Beauty and the Beast. I mean, let's be honest with Derrick Henry. He is he's a beast. 190 yards rushing week after week. And then Jimmy Garoppolo is beautiful. I mean, let's just be honest about that. He's a handsome man.
And I had to cut it there. That stony soliloquy actually went on for like 5 minutes. That's Fox Sports 1's Colin Cowherd. Who I get it. You know, it's all objective. Some people don't like him. I like him. I find him wildly entertaining.
I love him too.
I love what it sounds like. He just hit the bong or hit the vape pen and then comes on air and just has some like oddball analogy that he made. Like, if you're a marketing director, what's the best way to sell this Super Bowl? Like, if it's Titans and Niners, two quarterbacks who actually suck, let's call it The Fault in Our Stars. Yeah. Yeah. What do you think of that? Like, I don't know. I love that kind of crap from Colin Cowherd. Fault in Our Stars. Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. So, Chris, what to you?
Yeah.
Not doing the marketing aspect of it. Like, what's the ideal Super Bowl?
Oh, I think, you know, 100th season of the NFL, it's a rematch of the first one. It's Packers-Chiefs. I agree.
If you're Roger Goodell and you're NFL in New York, that's what you want. Yeah, and the 100-year anniversary NFL, you want Super Bowl I all over.
And it's also the most star power because it's Rodgers-Mahomes.
It'll cost $4,000 for the worst seat to get in the house in Miami.
Yeah.
Think of those Chiefs definitely tortured fan base. When's the last time they went to a Super Bowl? The 60s? It's been 50 years, right? And Green Bay haven't been since 2010. That'd be the hottest ticket ever in years to get into that Super Bowl. So yeah, that's what I want. What do you think happens?
I think it's probably going to be Chiefs and Niners. Yeah, that's my thought.
Yeah, that's what
that defense is so good, and it, you know, the running game is good. The offensive line is good. And the quarterback is talented. All he has to do is not screw it up. That's the position they put him in. He's like West Coast Tannehill.
That's a big ask. So here we go. Let's crap all over Garoppolo. If the Niners are going to lose tomorrow, which I am praying on my knees for to the take gods, please let me be right. I was right on Goff. Let me be right about the Italian version of him. Yeah. If they lose, it's going to be because of Garoppolo, right? Like, could we agree
definitely.
On that?
Yeah. No, definitely. They'll put too much on him or ask him to win the game, and he'll turn it over. I mean, this year, 18 turnovers. That's the same amount as Andy Dalton during the regular season.
Never want to be compared to a Dalton.
And more than Sam Darnold or Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yeah, he's up there. And then he had 10 fumbles this year. He only lost 5. He tends to put the ball on the ground.
He does. Little hands. Got those little Trump hands. He does. He's good. Don't put the ball on the ground. Don't lose it. I think the kid's good on third down. He can make, I think his,
he makes some great throws.
His deep ball is nice. But boy, like, I don't know. I've seen him throw. Again, there was a horrific interception to Kendricks.
Was terrible.
Kendrick, in their own territory, I don't know what the hell he was looking at there. And time and again, when I've seen him, when he makes those mistakes, typically his interceptions are like, dude, what did you see? Like, you just threw it, like, right to the other team.
I agree. I agree with you on that. And
so is he sped up? Is it a, I don't know what it is, but because that is,
well, that's what's scary.
That's
about
the
it.
Detriment to his game.
It's one thing if passes get tipped, or, you know, we've seen this too. Like, you make a throw on third down, and it's just, you know, Brady chucks it deep, or, you know, you're trying to stick it to a particular player at the end of a game you think you're going to win. But a lot of his interceptions are he gets fooled. Like, he doesn't read the coverage. And I thought it was interesting watching that game last week. I thought he was a total sidecar in that game. I mean, the second half of the game, they drop back to pass. This is not passes thrown. This is drop back to pass 6 times and ran it 29 times. They had that drive where they ran the ball 8 straight times. It was obvious to me that they were managing him and that they were trying to keep the ball out of his hands and keep him from throwing away the game. And to me, when you're doing that, that indicates that the guy you have is not a franchise quarterback yet. Like, you're not, you know he's talented, you know he's good, but it depends on what the day is. Okay, this is a good day for Jimmy. We're going to chuck it. We're playing the Cardinals. All right, this is a bad day for Jimmy. We're in the playoffs against the Vikings. Just don't lose the game. We kind of don't trust him to do that. So we won't even, like, let him have the ball in his hands, really.
Well, and they're lucky enough that their defense is so good that
their defense
they kind of don't have to worry about it, because that is no fluke. Their pass rush is ridiculous. Yes. I think their secondary is actually even better. Richard Sherman now healthy. And I was saying this to my wife last week, too. Yeah. The Niners, to me, Chris, and this is what's going to happen to generations of football fans with the Patriots. I understand that. So the Niners, I hate the Niners because of
really
my childhood. Yeah.
Oh, like, really? I liked those teams growing up.
They were just always there. I got annoyed by the Niners.
Montana was classy. I was a Roger Craig guy. I like those
Super
teams.
Bowls were wretched outside of 88 against the Bengals. But like, oh, God. Like, I just
the
was.
Super Bowls introduced the Bud Bowl, one of my favorite things of all time.
And that. Just the Niners still irk me.
Really?
It's funny, yeah, because I'm like, they haven't been a threat in so long. And even that blip that they had with Harbaugh there in 12 and 13 and the run they had with Kaepernick, like, even then I was like, ugh, I know the Niners.
Really? So,
yeah, they're still
the
like.
Niners for you, are they like Maz's Dodgers?
Yes. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, there's still a residual childhood anger that I hold towards the 49ers because they're just always there and always dominant and just, ugh.
I never felt that way about the Niners.
So that's further reason for me to root against them. But it has more to do with Garoppolo than anything else. And I still can't get it out of my head how Green Bay got their doors blown off in Santa Clara.
Yeah.
And it was late in the season. I think it was like week 14, week 13 on that Sunday or Monday night, whatever it was. So we're not talking about early in the season where, you know, and they had that L.A. trip that they made. They had that complete no-show game. Was it against the Chargers? Either way, they had one against either one of those L.A. teams. The Green Bay had a wretched performance. So that they can blame themselves for not having home field. Because if they're playing this game in Green Bay, I take Green Bay. I don't know how much of a shot I give them tomorrow, even though Rodgers looked really well, played really well against Seattle last week.
Well, it'll be interesting. I mean, I think if they can, you know, if they can stop the run and put the game on Jimmy and let the Smith brothers, Zadarius and Preston Smith, get going, that secondary I think is better than I thought for the Packers. I think they have a chance. But if they just let the 49ers run all over him and get the play action going and Jimmy gets comfortable and he's throwing passes to George Kittle, then, you know, it's over because I think it's really hard against that team when you get behind with that pass rush and what the 49ers can do. And I've said this before, and I still feel this way. You know, I think when you look at, if you're asking me, what's the most talented team top to bottom left in the playoffs? I think it's the 49ers.
Yeah, same.
And that's why I think Garoppolo is the guy that has the most to lose and the most to gain championship weekend. If he's able to guide this team into the Super Bowl and it's a situation where essentially in his second full year as a starter, he is able to go out there and take the team to the Super Bowl, then I think that's a real feather in his cap and people look at him differently. I think with a team this talented, if he doesn't play well tomorrow and they lose and they blow this opportunity at home, I think you look at him and you say he's this year's Jared Goff. Even though Goff and the Rams, you know, went to the Super Bowl last year, look at him this year. You're looking at it and saying it's more about the team around the guy than the actual quarterback.
Oh, I need him to turn into a handsome pumpkin. I need it. That's all I want. It's really all I want tomorrow, Chris. You have no... Oh, so badly. I want to be right about this.
We'll definitely be texting during this game.
Yeah, like two teen girls.
How many times...
Two bitchy teen girls
how many
throughout
times,
this season.
Is where Felger and Mazur are right, you know? Because they try and paint me in the corner with these statements, and I honestly do think Jimmy is good. But how many times this season have we texted each other after Jimmy turnover?
Just like, or smiling emoji.
It's like, did you see that throw? 4 exclamation marks.
A gif of someone holding the L on their forehead like, loser. No, that's us. We're such petty,
it's like Mean Girl.
Couple of petty bitches. Quickly, I want, for the story, not just the story of this year, but like just to put a bow on it, the Titans thing. It'd be 20 years since the Music City Miracle, which I feel like if you're young enough, you kind of forget. It wasn't just the Music City Miracle in the way that they came back against the Bills. They went to the Super Bowl that year. That's that same year that they came within like a yard of...
Kevin Dyson couldn't get in.
Of beating the Rams in the Super Bowl, right? Like, that was a really good team.
By the way, that was, even though that ending was great, that was the Super Bowl of my lifetime I cared about the least. I remember I was in...
Oh, really?
I was in college back then. I remember watching it at somebody's off-campus apartment and being like, the Rams and the Titans are in the Super Bowl. I just couldn't get over it. I was like, I can't really watch this.
Oh, for me, it was the following year. It was the Giants and the Ravens. That one was completely worthless.
That was okay. I'll tell you also that Falcons-Broncos Super Bowl, that was over fast.
Oh, it's funny. So I was just talking about those because they've been showing...
Tim Dwight.
They've been showing some of these older championship games on NFL Network, and they had Niners-Green Bay on from 97, which I had forgot because that's truly my wheelhouse. Like, I remember the most random crap from teams I didn't give a rat's ass about because I was just so...
Into football?
Oh, so, like, even more than... Because I'm into it now, but then it was, like, sick, real sick. And that NFC Championship game, I kind of don't remember, because that Packers team was stacked that year. I didn't remember who they had played, and that wasn't really that competitive, that championship game. But, man, 97, that was... If the Chiefs, because that's another one of these Chiefs games, where you talk about how historically, what a nightmare they are in the playoffs... That one I remember like yesterday because Marty Schottenheimer, that moron, decided to start Elvis Gerback, who hadn't played in like 2 months because of an injury. They start him over a red-hot Rich Gannon. I loved Rich Gannon anyway, like one of the great underrated mobile quarterbacks. They start Gerback, who sucks in that game. They lose to Denver. Denver goes on to that Super Bowl, and they win it. Because one of the things I wanted to die with, Chris, was John Elway not winning a Super Bowl. And, ooh, that makes me still so mad to this
John
day.
Elway was your football Jennifer Aniston.
Yes. She's going to die alone, by the way. I don't care. Get me in trouble. Fine. Tweet it. Oh, okay, that was so offensive. Misogyny. It's true, and you know it. She's going to die alone. I say it all the time. Makes the wife angry, but it's true. Makes her angry. It's true. But that 90, there's, and then 98, the following year, you would have got a good Super Bowl if the stupid Falcons didn't win that AFC Championship game against the Vikings, because you would have had to play a 15-1 Vikings team that was an offensive juggernaut. If you get that Super Bowl.
Who missed that field goal? Was it Gary Anderson?
Gary Anderson.
Oh, yes.
Moron. That missed all year.
Kickers.
If you get that Super Bowl, Vikings and Broncos, that's a better product, because that's another one that stands out. Like, within a few minutes, you realize, like, oh, the Falcons have no chance in this. This game's over.
So I remember that was, like, the height of, like, WWF back then, but, like, The Rock and stuff. And at halftime of that, they had like a, it was like
empty arena match.
Yes, empty arena match with like Mick Foley, Mankind versus The Rock. And that was literally like the people I was watching the game with were more excited about that than the Super Bowl. And like after the halftime of that whole wrestling match, I don't even think we turned back.
Yeah, oh no, those games.
The game was over.
Those Super Bowls were worthless for years, years and years. And now we've been blessed. I mean, going on like,
yeah.
Really, during this Patriot run, most of these games have been great.
All the Patriots ones are too close for comfort, if you ask me. But
and people, you know, I get it. Nationally, people thought last year was a dud. I still enjoyed it. I liked the defensive battle. But what were the duds of this last 20 years? It was Tampa, Oakland in 02. That was worthless.
That was not like a super. The one in Detroit between the Steelers and the Seahawks, that game was close, but it sucked. Remember
05,
that?
Yes.
That game was terrible.
Yeah, way too affected by the refs. Roethlisberger had one of the worst performances ever.
That game was really bad.
And oh, the one in New York, the Seahawks and Broncos.
Well, I didn't mind that.
But
so
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I enjoyed that as well.
I liked watching Peyton crap his pants.
Yeah, that was I was good with that. That was entertaining. I watched that to the end.
But that's really it. There's like three in the last 20 years that have sucked.
No, most of them are pretty good. Although, you know, I covered this one. I didn't think Panthers Broncos was that great. Now, that could be biased because
that game sucked.
That week sucked. San Francisco is the worst Super Bowl host ever. That Santa Clara Stadium, home of the NFC Championship game today, looks like crap, and it looks like it's an erector set, and I hated it, and it's in the middle of nowhere, and that was just a terrible, terrible Super Bowl. But I didn't think that game was that good.
And the thing with Jennifer Aniston, too, if you look at her history, like the woman can't keep a man. Like, it's just, there's something up there. And but maybe she wants to be alone. I'm not buying that.
Jennifer Aniston or Taylor Swift? Who do you got?
Oh boy, both are disingenuous frauds. That are going to die alone.
Yeah, who's if you had to choose one that will not, who would you take?
Taylor Swift.
I would too.
Yeah,
I agree.
But Jennifer Aniston. Like I've been saying this for years now. Well, I'm going to be proven right. And you're a misogynist. Oh, you're horrible for saying it. I'm just using common sense.
You always say. I feel like I think you've even said there are things like three things you know in life: death, taxes, and Jennifer Aniston will die alone.
Right, Chris. It's so that's I am known for saying that. I should probably get it tattooed on my body. Okay. Chris thinks that Jimmy Garoppolo is the one that has most to win or lose or going forward with his performance tomorrow in the NFC Championship game. I happen to think it's someone else. I actually think it's Aaron Rodgers. I'll make the case for that. Coming up next here, Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray. You will listen. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I am one of these guys who believes that postseason is important to your career, but it shouldn't mean everything. You know, Ted Williams never won a World Series. Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl. But I still think that they are among the best to ever play their particular game. So I wouldn't say that if Andy Reid never wins a Super Bowl, that he can't be considered in the all-time pantheon of coaches.
All right, that's Peter King making his case for Andy Reid having the most to gain or lose tomorrow if the Chiefs win or lose the AFC Championship game against the Tennessee Titans. I don't know. I hear that, and I tend to think that's just fat guy sticking up for fat guy. But you can certainly make a case for Andy Reid being just that, having the most to gain or lose with what happens in that game tomorrow, considering the lack of success in the postseason for Andy Reid. I think Felger was talking about this during the week, and I hope I get the stat right, but during his last 10 playoff games with this team, he's 3-7, and two of those wins come against Bill O'Brien. So put an asterisk on those. Oh, God. Like, think of the I am so fascinated, and I've already talked about it enough with some of these 90s losses, but I'm so fascinated by the wretched postseason history of the Kansas City Chiefs.
I know, that I feels can tell like that
it,
you are.
It really is baked into the DNA there. Like, I'm not going to be shocked if the Tennessee Titans go in there and beat them tomorrow and something goes horribly wrong. Marcus Mariota had that self-pass to them in that wild card game, right? a few years ago.
That's right. You need this, by the way, don't you? Because I know we've talked about this. Over the last decade or so, a lot of the fan bases whose pain you enjoyed and whose tears
oh
you
the
drank,
sports world's all upside down
yeah,
now. I hate it.
Now they've all received deliverance. The Cubs fans, the Cleveland sports fans, who am I missing?
Stupid Capitals.
Yeah, the Capitals. All these fan bases that you just soaked up the schadenfreude of them losing. You don't have much left.
No,
so you really need the Chiefs to blow this.
Problem is, I really like Patrick Mahomes. I love watching that kid play. I like just the swagger that comes with
him. No, he's really cool.
He's a blast to watch. I like him. I think he should be the face of the league, as you know, Brady is phasing out here and these older quarterbacks are phasing out. So he's a good story for the league. He's a joy to watch. So part of me will be rooting for the Chiefs. I think it's Aaron Rodgers, Chris. I think you can make the strong case that Aaron Rodgers, he's underachieved. And his last three opportunities in this game, or last two opportunities in this game, his team is blown. He's played okay in them, but you know, I think
you're not blaming him for that onside kick that guy didn't catch against Seattle.
No,
his fault.
He was excellent in that game, but it's just like he's been let down by his team. He and the rest of the team were awful in Atlanta against the Falcons in 2016.
Yeah,
they get to that game and it was a blowout. Yeah. But in 14 against Seahawks,
they should have won that game.
And the other year I look at is the year after they won it. They're 15-1 in 2011. They're sitting there divisional weekend. They get knocked off by the Giants. And he sucked in that game, too. So, you know, he's getting up there. This is another great opportunity. And to me, if he were to retire with one ring, I look at that as an underachievement for all his talent.
Yeah.
And I'm not one of these babies that's like, oh, don't you ever compare Rodgers to Brady. Like, it's Brady. Yes, he's the GOAT. But Rodgers is phenomenal when he's on. But if he retires with one ring, I'm sorry, that's an underachievement.
Yeah, I mean, I think he sort of gets clemency with the one ring. I mean, Marino never won it. You know, so I think just getting the one sort of gets the monkey off your back. I mean, what's his record in NFC Championship? Is it 1-3?
Yeah.
I mean, it could easily be 2-2 if what's that guy's name? Kevin something? Who's that guy who didn't field the onside kick? I'm blanking. But, I mean, if that stupid backup tight end had just caught the onside kick, people forget how poorly Russell Wilson played in that NFC
Brandon
Championship.
Brandon Bostic?
Oh, it was Brandon Bostic. Okay, yeah. I thought it was Kevin something. Russell Wilson was not good other than throwing the game-winning touchdown pass in overtime in that NFC Championship game.
He had like four picks or something like that?
Yeah, the Packers should have won that one. So, I mean, 2-2 is not a terrible record, which is what it should be. I hear what you're saying. I just think the other part of it is so much of it's about perception, Jim, and the mere fact that last year when Rodgers came here, all the talk, and Michael Jordan did the pregame thing for Sunday Night Football, and all the talk was like, who's the GOAT? GOAT versus GOAT. So it doesn't seem like people look at it the way you're saying you look at it with Rodgers, that he needs to prove something more. He seems to get some sort of special dispensation, and people say, well, he's a great player. He's super fun to watch. He wins games in these crazy Hail Marys or extends them like he did in the playoffs against Arizona a few years back, the one he threw to Richard Rodgers against Detroit. He's fun to watch. He has that one championship. That's all we need to put him in the GOAT conversation. That's why he's below Garoppolo. Because I feel like if Garoppolo wins this game and plays well, you know, people are going to look at it and say, this guy's a franchise quarterback. And there'll be this whole debate about, well, who's better right now, Garoppolo or Brady? Did the Patriots make a mistake? You know, there's just so much riding on it, I think, from a perception standpoint for Garoppolo. And I feel like if Rodgers loses this, I think a lot of people will say, well, you know, the 49ers had the better team. They were on the road. Rodgers had a rookie head coach. The Packers team played really well during the regular season, but they kind of overachieved because they're not really actually that great. Who's he throwing to other than Davante Adams? I just think there's a lot of excuses you can make for him.
We're going to Mike in Woburn, who wants to talk about bad Super Bowls of years past. Hey, Mike.
Hey, just before, did I hear Peter King actually defending Andy Reid?
Yes, with the Fat Guy tuba music behind him.
Yes, exactly. Well, Fat Guy, I think, is appropriate because I'm pretty sure those two have crushed seafood towers together. Andy, you know, tackling all the plankton and Peter getting whatever, you know, Baleen hasn't screened through his mustache.
Terrible. Peter's a great guy. I love Peter.
Peter is terrible. I hate Peter. Peter King, let me tell you a great Peter King story. He wrote an article when he wrote Monday Morning Quarterback about a homeless guy falling asleep on a train and how disgraceful it was to see somebody that let himself go so badly that he would just allow himself to fall asleep on a train. Cue my buddy a couple weeks later finding that guy across from him on the green line after he sucked down three Milky Ways asleep dressed like a Red Sox bat boy. I have the photo. I want to release the photo to the internet. And by the way, 2 years, my fantasy football team was named the Sleepy Kings because of it.
I need that photo. But go on.
I hope no one ever does that to me.
Go on about bad Super Bowls.
Okay. I know you guys were lamenting the loss of Schadenfreude. Can we just be thankful that the Buffalo Bills are still here for you every time there's a Super Bowl? We have the Patriots a setback. I couldn't have put on the four falls of Buffalo faster after Wild Card Weekend because it is just it's so pathetic, like what that town did after those four Super Bowls. They had a parade and a gathering at City Hall after every one of them. They let Scott Norwood go up there and deliver a speech. They should have been setting Scott Norwood on fire, okay, those people. What is wrong with those people in Buffalo? They were proudly wearing their AFC championship gear, and they're taught, like, I love that guy that you see all the time that's going, you know, that Dallas is going down. That guy was all over the internet, like, this playoff. They dug him up. He hasn't died of a misery-related heart attack at this point, which is the greatest upset that Buffalo has ever had with anything related to sports, that guy still being alive. Buffalo provided me so much just joy from their misery. If they ever win anything, I really don't know how I will be able to cope.
Yeah, Mike, I don't know if you got to worry about that. Even in this game that they had in Wild Card Weekend, what, up 17-0 on Houston? They still find a way to blow that. And Josh Allen turns into he played the second half of that game like he was drunk. Yeah, I don't know if you're going to ever worry about the Bills breaking.
Yeah, I mean, we'll always have the Buffalo Bills, the Toronto Maple Leafs, probably like the Texas Rangers in baseball. I would even throw the Minnesota Vikings in there.
Oh, you could put the Falcons in there, too, after what happened with 28-3. That was their closest chance.
That was a tough one for your Falcons.
I hate you for that. squeeze in another one here. Mo in Pawtucket, it says here, Puppy Bowl. Sure, why not? We'll entertain it. Hi, Mo.
What's going on, boys?
Hey, Mo.
Listen, if you have a problem with any Bowl, you can always switch over to Animal Planet and watch the Puppy Bowl.
It's a good point, and they know they have kittens in it as well. I've done that before. I usually have it going on in the pregame. It's quite adorable. And now, for the first time in years, I actually get to watch the Super Bowl at home. So, yeah, I will switch over to the Puppy Bowl.
Oh, are you going to be back in time?
Yeah, I'm flying back on the Saturday.
Oh, good for you.
I can't get out of there fast enough.
Good for you.
Quickly, squeeze in one more. Steve in Fall River. You'll be the final call here on Gaspar Murray today. Hey, Steve.
How are you guys? I'm going to go to Andy Reid. I'm going to defend Andy Reid. He had a choking dog of a quarterback in his Super Bowl. Meanwhile, Bill Belichick had Tom Brady. I mean, it's not fair. We have to come to some realization here that it's players again that make plays. You talk about an ultimate sidecar. I'm going to diss Tom Brady. He was the ultimate sidecar in the 2001 Super Bowl against one of them.
Yeah, right. I'm not going to hear any Brady blasphemy to wrap up the show.
Oh, nice.
And look at some of those Eagles teams that Andy Reid had. When you lose at home to the upstart Carolina Panthers in the NFC Championship game, like, that's the lowest of the low. That's maybe the biggest stain.
I mean, I'm an Andy Reid guy. I defend him more than most. I think he's a really good offensive coach. But I will say this. If he loses the AFC Championship game 2 years in a row at home with Patrick Mahomes, he has the players.
All right, with that, we'll wrap up with five questions for Chris Gasper. We got nothing to do with sports next.
Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the sports.
I got five questions for Chris Gasper of the Globe. I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five. One, two, three, four.
Yeah. I got five.
Let's let's dive right in. Question number one, Chris Gasper, the Boston Globe. According to Dr. Oz, breakfast is a gimmick. Isn't it the most important meal of the day? And if it isn't, I don't know, do you eat breakfast every single day? Are you a breakfast guy?
I am not a breakfast guy, but I do eat breakfast every single day. But it's normally something small. It's like oatmeal or gluten-free waffles or something like that.
I try to avoid it. I feel like that's one of the things that helps me keep from turning into, you know, a big fat gym. I try to avoid that breakfast. Coffee is good enough. I still think it's probably the most important meal of the day, though. Gets the body moving. I don't buy Dr. Oz's crap. Question number two. What's the job that shaped you the most before your career started?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Probably when I was actually a shoe salesperson.
You're our own Al Bundy?
Yeah. I worked at Shoe Town in Saugus.
Was it just like sneakers or was it like men's
shoes?
It
was like a discount shoe store. It was a lot of someone coming up to you and being like, do you have the left shoe to this shoe? I quickly realized that was not something I wanted to do.
Couldn't even get you an LB Pennyworth's as
no,
a Lynn boy?
I worked at Shoe Town in Saugus.
So that's a service industry job. You know, yeah. To me, it's any service industry job. That's what's helped shape my whole mentality. I think it should be a mandatory requirement in this country that you work a service industry job between the ages of 17 and 25. So you learn how to deal with the public, good or bad.
Yeah.
Question number three. The average American spends $2,000 on coffee a year. It's a ridiculous statistic, but we'll go with it. Do you make yours at home, or do you grab to go, or do you even not drink?
I don't drink coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker. I was a coffee drinker in college. I probably drank way too much coffee. I was like highly caffeinated, and I started to have some stomach problems. And my doctor was like, "Yeah, you got to kill the caffeine." So now I don't drink coffee at all.
So that's interesting. So I'd love to know what like an up over caffeinated Gasper's all about.
Oof, not good.
I'll keep driving around this block for five times until I find a space.
An up over caffeinated.
Are you on time? You're caffeinated?
Because I'm just up. but an up over caffeinated Gasper is kind of like Kyrie Irving.
Oh boy. Yeah, no, we don't need that. Question number four. What's a movie you will always watch when it's on TV?
Top Gun.
Yeah, so you're pumped for the new one then?
Oh, totally. Yeah. If Top Gun's on, like I'm watching that movie, I will watch it like all the way through. Just pick it up. Yeah, Top Gun, 100%.
Shawshank, I mean, they call it getting Shawshank for a reason. Yeah. It was what Bill Simmons used to say back in the day when he was writing. So Shawshank, and another one, I have no shame in saying it, Devil Wears Prada. I'll watch the movie anytime it's on
TV.
It's
so funny you said it because that happened. I will definitely watch that. You know another one? The Patriot.
Never seen it.
Mel Gibson?
Never seen it. Know of it.
I will watch that one.
Speaking of watching movies, the final question to wrap up. Have you watched the new Aaron Hernandez documentary? But you're not talking about sports. These are questions. But no, he was a murderer before. You know, that he ultimately was a murderer, not an athlete more than anything else. Have you watched the new Aaron Hernandez documentary on Netflix? If so, your thoughts?
Yeah, the wife and I binged it last night, watched all three episodes. It was interesting, also sad. I didn't feel like it was particularly revelatory. Honestly, the most difficult thing was I was like, is that what I sound like? Like, ooh, the accents. It was brutal. It's like everybody on there sounded like Peter Griffin, like even the judge. I'm like, how are these? Everybody sounded like they weren't qualified for the job that they had.
Yeah, it's a terrible accent. It really is. And you watch this thing. So I was for most of this case and this story, I was in Atlanta and I would occasionally pop in and listen online to, you know, Felger and Maz and the sports stuff because I wanted to catch up with it because it's not like we were talking about it much down there. So some of it's new. My wife and I only watched the first episode last night, but you're right. It's evident. Even the DA in the case is like, yeah, and then after he killed Lloyd Kidd, he went back home, and then he's got Shania, his girlfriend, trying to hide the effing weapon. What do you think about that, Jerry, huh? Effing unbelievable. It would work better with the F-bombs, but the accents, really.
Like the court scenes were, I was like, really like cringeworthy.
Yeah. You gonna buy the testimony from this sea sucker over here, huh? Doesn't he sound like an effing liar?
That's what it sounds like.
Case effing closed. Gonna go get me some Guinness down at McGann's. All right, thank you. All right, that's going to do it. Thanks to Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal, who was chiming in during the Sports Hub Celtics show and producing the show. And for Chris Gasper, who's been hot on the Red Sox and the cheating this week in the Boston Globe. If you haven't caught up with any of his columns, go there, bostonglobe.com. Great stuff this week, Chris. Always a pleasure.
All right. It was fun, Jim. Have a good week.
I don't know who's next. I'll give you the headlines, because that's part of the job requirement now. And then someone after me, hopefully, because I'm going to get out of this chair and I'm not going to give you any more takes, because my shift ends at 2.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.